The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome to another show of Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Tonight we've got a spectacular show for you. You know, I am so fortunate that throughout the years I have been able to interview some of the greatest medical doctors that have revolutionized Western medicine. I've interviewed Dr. Bruce Lipton about cellular biology. I've talked to Dr. Bernie Siegel about the importance of the right mental attitude in healing cancer. And I've talked to Dr. Sarini Pillay from Harvard Medical School about brain imagery and the fact that the law of attraction is real and authentic. These men have broken out of their conforming role placed on them by the medical profession, and they are now standing proud in their accomplishments. Now I'm about to introduce you to another brilliant MD, Dr. Harvey Bigelson, MD. This is a name that I don't want you to forget. Tonight you're going to hear things that you have not heard before and may even change your life and how you think about your health. Talk about awakening. So I want you to get comfortable, turn the sound up, and stay focused. This is a show that you're not going to want to forget. Right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Need help realizing your dreams? As a hypnotherapist specializing in the law of attraction, Jules Johnson can help you to break through your critical mind into your manifested dream. Get started today by going to lawofattractiontools.com. Set up a personal Skype video or phone session. Law of Attraction Tools is there to help you turn your desires into reality. That's lawofattractiontools.com.
Okay, we are back. You know, there's so much information I want to share with you, but I don't want to take away from tonight's wonderful, wonderful show. So I'm going to just say a couple things really fast. First, we have a new cruise coming up that I am so excited about. It's going to be out of Tampa, Florida, and it's leaving Tampa to go to the land of the Mayans on December 13, 2012. It's the week before December 21st, 2012. This is going to be a spectacular ship. And even more amazing, we are booked on the ship called Jewel of the Seas. I'm just loving this. It's a four-day cruise, Thursday through Monday morning, and we are headed to Cozumel. The information has yet to be posted, but keep an eye out for it. This is going to be one cruise that you will not want to miss. And don't forget about our upcoming internet radio broadcasting webinar. We are going to be picking out at least one person to have their own show on Law of Attraction Radio Network for the next 6 months. The webinar will teach you all about sound quality, sound equipment, and especially how to monetize your show. So go to LOA Radio Network and click on the Seminars Workshop tab for more information and register right there. Now let's get going with tonight's show and let's talk to Dr. Bigelson, MD. You know, it's a fluke that I even know about Dr. Bigelson. Judy, his wife, came on our last cruise and I could not believe what she was telling me. And having thought about it, it's really not a fluke. This is what I am supposed to tell all of the listeners so that they have a better chance to understand what is going on in Western medicine and a better way to heal and cure the body of diseases. Harvey Bigelson, MD, is a tireless advocate for homeopathy and biological medicine. The doctor has courted controversy and endured massive legal persecution while helping to change public perception of healthcare. A true pioneer and a true renegade in the physical well-being of humankind, Bigelson co-authored the Arizona Homeopathic Medical Practice Act and was appointed by then Governor Babbitt to establish a board, and while acting as president to set standards for holistic medicine. He has written some amazing books, such as Holographic Blood, Medical Conspiracy in America, and also the book Doctors Are More Harmful Than Germs, How Surgery Can Be Hazardous to Your Health, and even a brand new coffee table book called Messages in Blood. I think you're going to agree with me at the end of this interview that we are all fortunate to be living on this planet the same time. It's Dr. Biggleson. Welcome, Dr. Biggleson, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I am so honored that you are on the show today.
Well, it's an honor to be here. Thank you. It sounds very nice.
I have been doing extensive research on you and what you're doing, and I got to tell you, oh, you are such a breath of fresh air. I just want to make sure all of my listeners know about you and know how to get a hold of you and make sure that they understand your name to be a household name now.
Well, thank you very much, because I definitely do different work, and I'm glad you're checking it out.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Let's start off from the very beginning so that everybody understands the connection. You talked once about the year of 1910 and how that was kind of the end of really patient health.
That's right. At the turn of the century, there were something like five different types of healthcare institutions. And in 1910, Rockefeller sponsored the pharmaceutical industry. And that was the death knell. By 1944 and 1947, the last two medical schools became, they converted over. Hahnemann Medical College was a homeopathic college, and Flower Fifth Avenue was homeopathic. They converted over to standard pharmaceutical medicine. But it was in 1910 that Rockefeller started it, and he himself died at the age of 97, a vegetarian all his life, never taking a pharmaceutical remedy in his mouth.
So this was the same group of people that control us through the banking system now, controlled free energy, and in effect have made us slaves to their wealth. And now they're responsible for killing us as well.
The third leading cause of death, if you look up the World Health Organization, 700,000 people die every year from heart disease. 500,000 people die every year from cancer, and 200,000 people die every year from doctors' mistakes.
Oh, my goodness, from doctors' mistakes. And that is because of pharmaceuticals or just the knowledge? Well, you stated that they're really not here to cure the disease, only
to stop the symptoms. That's what it is. You know, in medical school, we were never taught health care. We were taught normals the first year, diseases the second year, and we never made any connection. Then you were taught what drugs to use to stop the symptoms, and in case you can't stop the symptoms, how to cut it out. Health was never taught. Nutrition was never taught. Structure was never taught. Only disease was taught. It's very scary because, you know, they're dominating healthcare and they know nothing about it.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I just saw a report today on the internet, MSN, that said that cancer cases to surge 75% worldwide by 2013.
Well, cancer's a mold, and that's what's going on. Breast cancer, when they gave women all this hormonal therapy for menopause so they don't get hot flashes, then they gave them calcium for osteoporosis, they skyrocketed breast cancer. Because breast cancer is a mole that feeds on calcium. It loves, that's what goes to the bones. Cancer is a mole, and a mole grows already on dead tissue. If I have a tissue that's dying, if I have a cream cheese with a mold on it and I cut it off, the next day I got 12 spots. Okay, so the whole cream cheese is rotten. They're looking at only one spot as rotten. No, the whole pH of the system are getting too alkaline, the oxygen is going down, and the body is starting to mold. And that's what cancer is.
Holy cow. Well, the cancer to surge 75%. Is that, do you think, going to be due to the pharmaceuticals and even the calcium and all of this misdirected information? It's only going to get worse, in other words.
It's not just the pharmaceuticals. Anything with a label on it in a can is almost not edible. I mean, look at some of the things that are on the labels. It's what they're doing to the atmosphere, our oxygenation. It's a whole combination of things that's moving us into a society that's basically, yes, I think it's going to be a cancer society in the next 30 to 100 years without question.
Unless we can turn to the way that you are addressing medicine.
Yes, you got to go back to a healthy lifestyle. I mean, we don't live a healthy lifestyle. How many people eat stuff that's not doesn't have a label on it? And look at the label. Try to read some of the words on that label. They have X's and Z's in it, and you know, and how many words have X's and Z's in it? And they got all of these chemicals in there. We're dominated by the chemical industry and the pharmaceutical industry and almost everything we do.
We know about Monsanto, that's for sure. They're in the news again today about the corn, and oh, it's just sad. The genetically altered food.
I mean, that's very frightening. You know, man is trying to say, hey, you know, you're going to do better with man-created stuff versus what nature created or God created or what you're doing. The arrogance of man is unbelievable. Well, they tell the woman at the age of 50 or something, you don't need your uterus, and they throw it away. You don't need your gallbladder. Well, dumb creator put those things in there. You know, the appendix and the tonsils are actually lymphatic regulators for the whole intestinal system and digestive system, but we don't know anything like that.
Oh my God!
Yeah, like the God put this appendix in there that only could burst. How stupid can we get?
Well, you just mentioned quite a bit about women, and I heard you in another interview say that Western medicine really has been the worst thing for women in the last 50 years. The IUD and ovarian cancer has exploded. Why do you say that? Have we been the guinea pigs?
Yep. Women wanted their freedoms in the 60s, so men said, great, we control the system. I ain't going to wear a condom. I'm going to give you the birth control pills. We'll abort you. We'll give you, we'll do the DNCs on you. We'll do anything, but I'm not going to wear the condom. So I tell my patients, basically, I tell my women patients, if the guy's not going to wear a condom, get rid of him because 100 others will line up around the corner and do it.
That's wonderful.
Okay, you know, why take this pill that's messing up your whole hormonal system? Okay, why do that? And they just fell for it. But now, you know, I really lecture to my patients on that. You get off all of these chemicals. If you don't know what the hell is in it, stay out of it.
You wrote the most phenomenal book. I mean, it shocked me. It is so wonderful. Holographic Blood. And you have pictures in there. And you've got to tell the listeners, I promised them that they're going to hear things that they've never heard before just through these pictures. Tell us about the messages from the blood.
Oh, that took me a long time to believe it. I had two German teachers that taught me how to look at the blood live. Now, there is no... I'm only the third American doctor in U.S. history that does that. The United States, they stain the blood and it's dead, so they never look at it live. And they started to show me things in the blood that there were no name for in American literature. And then you also have these big pictures in the blood. Now, how they got there, I don't know. These things are called simplex. The Germans count them. But no one has really identified what they mean, except I had one teacher said, look at this. This is your liver. Look at this. This is a broken bone. She would actually, if a woman's pregnant, you can actually see pictures of the baby in the blood. And that is amazing. If it's a three-month baby, you'll see a three-month picture in the blood. If it's a six-month baby, you'll see a six-month picture in the blood. In one drop of blood. If you go to my website, which is www.drbiggleson.com, you'll see those pictures there. Okay, and it'll tell you how to contact me if you have any questions on that. But it took me years. Seeing those pictures in the blood blew me away. How did they get there? I'm a very skeptical, difficult scientist, and it took me years to believe this is a reality. this is truth in there. And I can take a drop of your blood, like my teacher used to say. And she used to say, give me a drop of your blood, and in 20 hours, I'll strip you naked. I'll tell you if you were molested at the age of 5 and how you responded. And it's in there in the blood. Every emotion that you haven't gotten rid of is there.
And I saw the picture in your book that showed the baby in the blood, but it's identical to the ultrasound picture that was taken in the uterus.
That was the same day.
Oh, my God.
We did the blood, and the picture there, there was that six-week fetus in there, and then we get sent over a sonogram, and the match, you can see it on my website and my book. It's so accurate, it's incredible.
You are able to see immediately what is going on in the blood, what the body is going through, the dis-ease, as a matter of fact.
That's exactly right. See, every organ's got an emotion and acupuncture philosophy. If you're sad and need to cry, that's part of the lungs. If you're angry, that's part of the liver. So if you're keeping anger in and rage in, that'll actually affect your liver and your gallbladder, and I would see that in the blood. So every organ's got an emotion. I can see what your emotions are by seeing what organs are, what the problems are in the blood. And like I said, it's a fascinating thing. I can tell so much about your entire life, of who you are, just from that drop of blood. I can see, you can tell your age just by the size of the platelets. These are things that you never taught in medical school.
What fascinated me is that you had pictures of these worry cells, and I'm going, oh my gosh, now there's proof. I mean, we've heard from Bruce Lipton and everything about how the cells are a direct reflection of the emotions, but now there's pictures of it with these worry cells that actually have to do with post-traumatic syndrome, that actually has to do with abuse that happened while a child. This is phenomenal stuff.
It's in the blood, and there's ways that I learned from my teacher how to remove it. So if you have been, something happened at the age of 5, give me some time over there. I'll remove that from your memory. I'll remove that from the body's memory also. There are ways to treat that.
And that's important because the memories stay within the cells.
That's right. They stay within the cells, and they stay within the body. I have a guy out right now that is totally locked up from what happened at youth. He doesn't get a deep breath. He probably breathes about 70% of his lungs. He's so tight. He's so defensive. He's so guarded, and he's depressed. And it all comes back from incidents at 5 years old. And they just locked themselves up, like mommy yelling at you, and you don't want to hear it. You pull your shoulders up, your belly in tight, and you lock yourself down. And then some people keep that as a memory.
And affects them their entire life.
It affects them 30, 40 years later, yes, their entire life.
So how would you go about correcting something like that? Do you give them, I mean, do you do hypnotherapy to release it from their mind? What exactly would you do?
Well, I actually have, and it took me years to learn, and I had two German teachers that taught me this. There were actually German remedies called isopathic remedies. That if you have or you're really worried, I have a remedy in there that'll take the worry out of you. Okay, if you're angry, I can get the anger out of you. I can also make you move the anger into a positive direction. Okay, and there are remedies that do that. I can see that in the blood. If you're about ready to cry, I can clean that up. Okay, I can open your lungs up. I can open your breathing up. There's things that I can do to neutralize you. Basically, if you come into the office limping, you'll go out not limping.
Wow. Does it take a lot of treatments?
It depends. It's approximately, for me, 2 weeks of treatment to reverse a year of a problem. Let's assume 10 years ago you had a whiplash. Now you got headaches all the time, the shoulders bother you. Well, it's going to take me, about 20 weeks or so to get that slowly out of your body and get that memory out of your body and loosen that up. I got to slowly reverse it because you've locked yourself into that position.
We need to tell people that you have been persecuted because of the way that you do medicines, which to me is fabulous. But tell the story about you.
Well, I was I was a surgeon. I was a trauma surgeon in Vietnam. I was an eye surgeon in New Jersey. And I gave it up. I got into natural medicine. I met a doctor that cured one of my patients from glaucoma, as a natural doctor. And I started to learn from him. And then I went out to Arizona. And I started to do work. They had a lot of, they had a holistic clinic there. I started to work there. And then I got politically involved. What happened is people that are into alternative medicine were being persecuted by the state agencies. For example, in Arizona, I once had charges brought against me that I cured a person with an illegal means.
You cured with illegal, but they're cured.
Right. And the head of the board said, we do not care if your patients are getting better or worse. We only care if you're doing the work in our way scientifically.
Oh, man.
I mean, think of that. Now, what goes on with me, too, is I get 1 of 3% of physicians picked for a random Medicare audit. And this is, I want you to listen to this story. This is a fascinating story, and it's a very frightening story. They randomly pick out of my 5,000 files 28 cases to audit. Those 28 cases all involve something like called chelation therapy. It's something I've never done. But I had a guy that worked for me for 3 months in my office. Those were his 28 cases. So out of the only 5,000 cases, the only 28 chelation therapy they picked out as a random audit. Well, that wasn't random. They also picked 22 other chelation doctors in the United States for the same random audit. At the end of 6 months of the audit, they said, you know, your procedures don't fit our codes. And they told me exactly how to code it. 3 years later, they had grand juries held on me on fraudulent coding. This was their coding. They told me how to do it. At the end of 3 years of grand juries, I was indicted on 117 counts of Medicare fraud, totaling
$3,500.
That's, and my business, I had 8 practitioners at the time. My business grossed $5 million over that period. $3,500 they indicted me for. At the same time, Senator Bill Frist opened up a series of HMOs around the country. He got a Medicare misdemeanor, not an indictment, for $1.7 billion Medicare fraud. His was a misdemeanor. Mine was an indictment for $3,500. He paid his $1.7 billion off with a check.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. And I had to give up my licenses and get out of the country. They basically said, we don't care, you know, we want you out of the country, give up all your licenses. So I went to Mexico to work in a clinic down there.
They took away your license.
Yep, I had to give them all up. I passed every test that I've ever taken. I've never had anything against me. I never had patient complaints. I only had the doctor's complaints on that. So,
were you, in effect, humiliating Western medicine, and is that why they were going after you?
Yeah.
That was it.
No, I was so outspoken, and I was naive. After I wrote a law allowing MDs to practice on this natural medicine, the Arizona Homeopathic Medical Practice Act. At that time, Governor Bruce Babbitt appointed me to set up the standards and run the standards. So that was the first type of thing set up, and people, doctors who were persecuted, would come out there. And now there's over 100 doctors practicing medicine from around the world and doing things in Arizona that you can't get done in Iowa or Minnesota, et cetera, like that.
Wow.
We're even doing things like stem cells.
Oh, I know. I wanted to talk to you about that because that is so fascinating.
Oh, they're great. They're by far the future.
Well, before we get into the stem cells, I want to go through a couple more things.
Sure.
Because I am so excited about the stem cell therapy. I've been really researching it for the last couple of months. But one of the things that you talked about was that medical school never really was concerned about the reason for the symptom to happen in the first place. They were never seeking a cure.
Not even a cause.
I
used to ask questions, why did this happen? And they never gave an answer. They'd say, just read the books and give us the answer they tell us.
So is that because there's more money in it for everybody through the pharmaceuticals?
It's right now what we have is a disease management care system. we do not have a healthcare system. You go to the doctor, if you got something, he's going to put you on medicine for the rest of your life and see you every 3 months. He does not cure you. I mean, you look at about statistics, it's very frightening. And I've held this challenge out. Outside of crisis medicine, infectious disease, can anyone name one chronic disease in 100 years that the standard medical system has found a cause or cure? And if you haven't found a cause or cure of anything in 100 years, then what makes you an expert?
It doesn't. It makes you the cause of the problem. You wrote the book, Medical Conspiracy?
Yes.
Tell us about that book. That basically says or talks about Western medicine as we know it today.
Well, that talks about the Rockefeller, what I talked about, and how they came after me. That was my own personal story, and you can pull that down off my website for a few dollars and read the book in about an hour. And what I would like people to do is look at that book, and you can pull it from the website and email it to others, because we are being controlled by this system. And, you know, the United States, like I said, by the World Health Organization, we're 37th overall in healthcare. We're number one in cost, though.
Oh, wonderful.
Because they have a monopoly, you know, and the monopoly is illegal. You know, in the state of California, we have MDs, we have osteopaths, we have chiropractors, we have naturopaths and acupuncturists. The feds will only pay for one of those. Okay, that violates the Sherman Antitrust Act. And that's why, since they'll only pay for one of those, they have a monopoly. They can charge as much as they want.
Yeah, I witnessed that with my dad's death from cancer just a year and a half ago. Let's talk about Obamacare. What do you think about that?
Oh, he's just giving into the system. That Obamacare is their final control of everything. That you go to the MD and they can do anything they want. Taxes, pay $500,000 for that. You go to the naturopath or the acupuncturist, you got to pay it out of your own pocket. They're giving it. It is so constitutionally illegal, it's unbelievable. Okay, and Obamacare, it's the lobbyists that have done the whole thing.
Is there anything that we can do to help stop Obamacare?
I think we need to really get to it. This is why I have my book, The Conspiracy. Pull that down and get that to your congressman, and you'll see things. And if your congressman is not interested, realize they represent you. Find someone that is interested in it. Find someone. I think people need to go out there, and I would love to find a congressman that's into, quote, alternative medicine, and let him carry the ball or her carry the ball. We need someone up there.
Maybe we should stop calling it alternative medicine and make sure that people realize it's cure medicine.
I wrote an article, do not call me an alternative physician, okay, because, no, I think they're alternative. Okay, I can integrate them. They can't integrate me. I know their work. They don't know my work. And I have a curate, and they don't have a curate.
Wow. And you're in California.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah.
Nevada City, you're close. I'm coming to see you.
It's really so much fun, because the stuff they do from Europe, I mean, they have, the French are making stem cells that you drink. I've pulled people out of Alzheimer's with those things. Can you imagine
really?
That concept? You can hold it in your mouth, and I've done things with it that are fascinating. I've pulled people out of autism with things like this. That's the future, and the United States does it. Everything, Las Vegas style. We got to do it big and fancy. If you need brain cells, they'll drill a hole in a skull. The French, you can have them drink it.
So tell us the scoop on stem cells. It's really not from the placenta of a fetus, or what is it? That's why they banned it for so long, right?
Well, first of all, the French are using pig stem cells. Pigs and human are very genetically similar. Yes. And they'll put pig valves in hearts and replace a valve in your heart with using a pig valve, not a cow valve. So pigs and humans, there's really not a negative effect. So basically they've been using stem cells that they've gotten from pigs. That's what the French are using. And they work. They work beautifully.
And you can just drink it.
And you can just drink it, yes. What I do is I have to analyze you first. I mean, I get your history, and I see where your body in your history itself, where has your body been interrupted? The biggest interruption is a surgery. You know, surgery is, if I cut your uterus out behind 7-Eleven, you knew you had a problem. Okay, but if we do it in the OR, you don't think you have a problem. Heck, yes, you do.
Yeah, right.
You know, surgery is an attack with a knife. You know, so when I see this, one of the things, and it causes a lot of inflammation, it causes a lot of adhesions. What I do when I see people like that is I start to go treat those surgical areas, and I can calm down the inflammation. I look at the body like an 8-cylinder car built by God. And most people, Lyme disease, and it's not the germ. If you look at my book, I do not believe in the germs cause disease, but I believe it's in the weakened body they grow. And most Lyme disease people are working on 4 out of 5 out of 8 cylinders because they've had, you'll see they had a hysterectomy in 2006. 6 months later, they had Lyme disease. You'll see that happening. You know, this is 80% of the cases, my secretary can look at the history and say, oh, yeah, that caused it. They attacked the person there. They cut these things out there. And as soon as you start to treat that, you get the inflammation, quote, the Lyme disease disappears. It's so interesting. And that's why I call it, you know, my book is, my latest book out there is Doctors Are More Harmful Than Germs. Because doctors, and that's what it's about, doctors are damaging the body using the poisons and the knives.
Yeah.
That's not repairing the body.
No. Let's take a fast station ID and we'll be right back with Dr. Biggleson on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
So let me ask you, an appendicitis, that has to be taken out, right?
Yes. Definitely, 1,000%.
Okay, so, but then you have the scarring from that.
Things happen, you know, lousy things happen in life. So what I do is I treat the scar. That scar will be pulling the pelvis in more and more. The whole body actually is a diaphragm inside the pelvis that expands and contracts. When you scar it down, it really tightens everything up. When I treat the scar, I can get loosen up the pelvis again, and I can get it to start to expand and contract. But scars are always contracting and tightening. So about every 3 months or 6 months or even a year, you may need the scar retreated to loosen it up again. That's called neural therapy or scar therapy. They've been doing that in Europe for over 50 years.
So what happens to the body, say from appendicitis, what happens to the body if it's the scarring and the inflammation is not? What could happen?
What happens is, okay, the inflammation, now the body has now taken its immune system and it's putting a lot of effort to try to clean up the inflammation, but the scar is a wall blocking it and it can't do it. So the immune system becomes like a wind-up toy running against a brick wall, eventually runs out of gas. As it runs out of gas more and more, we get chronic fatigue, we get fibromyalgia, eventually they diagnose a Lyme disease or something like that. But more than anything else, it's been the 3 or 4 cylinders that have been cut out or thrown away. And the name that they put on it is just a result. You got to go after the cause. And basically the cause is don't throw the gallbladder away. Keep your uterus for the rest of your life. You know, the only elective surgery that I agree with is an autopsy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I want to ask you then. I have had surgery for my patella was removed, my kneecap, because of a accident, and it was crushed. And rather than put in a new knee, I just went without a kneecap. It doesn't really affect me. I can walk. Nobody can tell. So, but there is a lot of scarring. So what would something like that, I mean, this happened 15 years ago, that I feel at times that I'm totally off balance.
Yeah, and that I could help you if we treated that, or if someone treated you, neural therapy treated that scar. Number one, you'd have more energy because the inflammation would calm down. Number two, we loosen up the scar, your balance would be better. you would start to walk somewhat better. We not only treat the scars, we do osteopathic manipulation and start to line the body up more and more. The knee type of thing, we could take the knee and actually move that type of thing. But we work on the structure and treat the scars, and you walk out. You know, like I said, you may walk in limping, but chances are you're going to be limping a hell of a lot less or not limping at all by the time you walk out after the first treatment.
I've noticed I've had a distinct drop in energy since the original surgery. I've never had my energy back up to normal.
Of course, because it's the inflammation down there. People don't realize it. They get the uterus thrown away, but they never have the same quality of life again.
Yeah.
Okay? Because someone threw a part that God created or something created that's magnificent and cut it and threw it away, and it's created all sorts of things going on in the body.
Now, let's talk about stem cells. It's rejuvenating the body, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Can it rejuvenate something like a spine that's been paralyzed or what?
The best case that I had on stem cells was a gal that in 1993, she was 19 years old and she was in the Navy in San Diego. She was raped, thrown off a cliff, and broke her neck, and she was a total quadriplegic. And we got her stem cells. There was a professor from the University of South Carolina that made stem cells. We got her those stem cells, and by the way, they've arrested him recently because they weren't FDA approved. But we got the stem cells, and we gave it to this gal. The first week she came in after the stem cells, and she said she felt the shower in the back, the first time she'd felt the shower in the back in 5 years.
Oh, my God.
Second week she came in, she was laughing and crying. She had period cramps. She hadn't felt a period cramp in 5 years. Third week she came into the office, she pushed herself over the side of the desk, stands up and takes 3 steps, and the whole clinic was totally stunned. This was a gal that was a quadriplegic. Last summer, okay, that was done in Mexico. And last summer, she pedaled 1,000 miles on the back of a tandem bike through Europe. She doesn't have great balance yet, but that's how much she's developed from stem cells.
Oh, my gosh. So you can totally rejuvenate the body to where it was before through stem cells. So my question is, why are we not having access to it? Why is the medical profession not developing it? What's going on?
My philosophy is it's because it's big pharma until they control it. That's what my belief system is.
And then it will be so expensive, nobody will be able to use it either.
And the French are making stem cells. It costs you $100 to drink a vial, $200 to drink a vial. And they're pig stem cells, and they get it through the mucous membranes of the mouth. So the FDA lets it in as a food stuff. So I've been doing that type of work in the United States. And I've taken hypertensive 1, 2, 3 treatments. They're not hypertensive anymore. I've pulled people out of Alzheimer's with them. They are fascinating. That's the future product. You know, I'm 71 years old. When I take a stem cell, every day old cells die in my body and we get new cells born. The new cells are being reborn at 50 years old and not 71 anymore.
Woohoo! I love that.
That's what stem cells do.
That's good to know. You told a story about a lady who came to you had Alzheimer's. Could you tell the audience what happened?
Well, it was actually, she came in, and it was a daughter that came in as a patient. And the mother had Alzheimer's, so she had to take the mother around. The mother didn't know anything, really. So she had to take the mother around to the office and have her sit out in the waiting room. Well, as I was going to take the patient back in, the daughter back into my room, I said, wait a second, I want to try something. I took some brain stem cells, and I gave it some to her mother. And then I went and sat down with the daughter and did my work with her. Now, again, I spend at least an hour with the patient. At the end of my time with the daughter, we come out, and the mother looks at me and says, Dr. Biggleson, how come I'm here? What am I doing here? I mean, she had no idea beforehand, and that one little thing of stem cells, I gave her 1 cc to the little top of the vial, and bam, it pulled her out of Alzheimer's that fast.
Oh, my God.
That fair. I've seen things with them that is, it's the future, and we can do that. And that's one of the things that I do. I do what I call regenerative medicine. You come into my office, you should go out feeling better. If you don't go out feeling better, then I've missed something.
Isn't that what medicine is supposed to be? I mean, wasn't that the original plan way back thousands of years ago?
That was exactly the plan years ago. But what happened, it changed with Rockefeller and the industry. The industry is not interested in health. They make money on disease, okay? And that's what the ball game happened in that one. So, yes, everyone, you know, doctors now, medical school, like I said, we don't learn health in medical school.
Right.
We only learn disease management care, and you're taught very specifically never to use the word cure. Because since you've never cured anyone, if you offer the cure, they can actually come and sue you.
Okay, now, you're a surgeon. You were trained as a surgeon. When people have cancer, should they cut it out or should they have chemo? What's the scoop here?
I wear a belt and suspenders. I don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You have to get rid of this cancer. If it can be cut out, simply cut it out. Okay? And then you got to start to control the pH of the body. I'm not against chemo and radiation because I use a lot of animal tissue and stem cell work, which is very, by the way, anti-cancer, very anti-cancer. But I tell the patients, you're going to go through 6 weeks of chemo. They're going to beat the heck out of you. But if you use my stuff, they're going to tell, the doctor's going to say, how come you're doing so much better than everyone else? Because I can make you stronger. I can take away the negative effects on a lot of that. So the chemo is not really killing you itself. It's really just killing the cancer. And I've been playing out for a while. Like I said, I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You need to get rid of that cancer because that cancer is really, it's a mold that secretes a poison that degenerates the body. And that has to be stopped. And any way to stop it, stop it. It's worth it. And then I can build you up so fast, it's incredible.
But when you cut out the cancer through the blood cells and everything, isn't it faster to metastasize? Doesn't it spread around the body faster through surgery?
Well, it depends. It depends on the cancer, okay? For example, you have a breast cancer. A breast is outside the body. The body, yet, a lot of times not affected. Easy, get rid of the breast cancer, cut it out. Lung cancer is a different story. That's inside the body. It's a much more severe cancer. Whole bigger ball game. You better go and use everything you can at something like that. It depends on the cancer, the fast or slow cancer. But basically, get it out of the body because it is only deteriorating the system more and more. The faster you get it out, the better. And then again, I use a lot of things like stem cells and regenerative medicine to strengthen you back up. So you go through 6 weeks of hell, you'll still be the best patient in their office.
So do you do the full strength chemotherapy or do you do a milder version of it?
Actually, when I had a cancer clinic in Mexico, I would start off with the full therapy, but I'd watch your blood. And if I took a drop of blood, if the cancer started to die, there's a way that you can actually see it. I would immediately lower the dose. Most of my patients had 1 or 2 or 3 days of full dose, and then the rest probably 1/5 of the dose. And our cure rate, we had a good cure rate. Much higher than the United States ever had by doing this type of work. But we would balance the chemo to what was needed, and I would try to do as low as chemo as possible and still get the cancer killed. And we'd probably, most of the time, cut it down to about 80%.
Wow. Wow. Now, the emotions when you're going through cancer, having a positive mindset actually will help you as well. Is that right?
It does, but deep down, subconsciously, you're scared.
Yeah.
See, all the people, I tell that to Louise Hay, all the people in your audience are saying, I know I'm going to beat my cancer. I've gotten it beaten. They're not going to make it unless they have to go through the other physical things. We have an energy body that the mind rules, and we have a physical body. And you must treat the energy body with energy and the physical body physically, and you have to treat them both.
That's beautifully said. That makes so much sense.
Okay, and there's a number of different ways we can treat the energy body, just a simple thing by acupuncture, but I have other equipment that we can treat the energy body. And the physical body, we do it by osteopathy, we do it by chiropractic, anything structural work, and the scars, the disturbance fields, we call them.
Wow.
Get the body back and as flexible and as loose as possible, and it stays young.
What do you think the future of medicine is going to be like?
I think right now pharmaceutical medicine is in its death knell.
Oh, good.
I hope so. They're building a naturopathic college in San Diego, a branch of Bastyr University. I think naturopathy is going to start to come up very heavily in the 21st century. I think people in the younger generations are not looking for pills. They're not looking for doctors. They're looking to more natural. Well, everyone's now starting to grow their own food. We're looking to go to a more natural world. And I think, like I said, I think traditional medicine in its death knell, I really hope it is. And naturopathy is going to start to expand greatly, especially when they build that school. And I'd like to teach at that school also, because the naturopaths are into health.
Yeah.
Medicine's into disease. Big difference.
Wow. Well, hey, come on down to San Diego. You're closer to me. I love it.
Down there probably in a year or so and do some work down there.
Fantastic. I just want to make sure everybody knows who you are. They need to go to your website. They need to order your books. They need to know that there is a much better, easier way to get healthy, and that's through treatment by you.
It's okay. And you can find that again on my website, which is drbiggleson.com, and you can track that down. I've also got some videos explaining these things. I mean, things like hepatitis C, I talk on one video. Hepatitis C is not a virus. Okay, it's not the thing. Danny Kaye, it is a virus, but it's a result. Danny Kaye, the movie actor, died supposedly from hepatitis C following open heart surgery, and he had transfusions. They said it was from the transfusion. No, it was the shock from the cutting the chest open and cutting the heart open.
Wow.
That's what created, that inflamed the liver so much that the liver went into shock. That's what created this hepatitis C, not the transfusion.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you think about what a shock to the body it is to cut your heart out.
Yeah.
Right? Just because you're asleep, the body knows it's being cut and ripped apart.
So is it true that when you're in surgery, your body actually knows what's being said by the doctors and the nurses? We're not asleep.
No, your mind may be asleep, but the cells know everything. The cells feel it. You're cutting a cell. That cell goes, ow, you may not feel it because they've deadened the nerves, but you're damaging that body. Like I said, if I cut your uterus out behind 7-Eleven, you knew you had a problem. Okay, but now you're done in the OR, you don't think it's a problem. No, that's it. Surgery is a legal attack with a knife. If you think of it that way, you'll back down on surgeries and use it as a last resort.
Only for acute causes, like emergency, like for me, knee and everything.
And there are things, if you've got your cancer that needs to be cut out, you broke something that needs to be fixed, yeah, you got appendicitis, those are crisis things. Those are things that need... But most of surgeries, elective surgeries, you know, insanity.
Cosmetic surgery?
Well, I laugh at that one. First of all, there are 22 bones in the skull, okay? And they all have hinges on them. The skull is actually expanding and contracting. There's two diaphragms in the brain. The skull is actually expanding and contracting as the brain breathes 8 to 10 times a minute. When you do plastic surgery, you tie the skull into knots, and it can't expand and contract. And the circulation of the brain now weakens. And I would wager to say a higher percentage, the people that are getting the plastic surgery, I bet you go down 30, 40, 50 years from now, you see a higher percentage of Alzheimer's than people like that.
Wow.
Because you're cutting the body and tightening the circulation down to the brain. You're cutting it down.
So every woman wants to know, what about stem cells for facelifts?
I think those are great. I really honestly do. There are ways that you can do that. I think if you took a picture of me last year and took a picture of me this year, you'll see I have less wrinkles.
Wow.
Okay. And to me, like I said, I think it's the future. It's so exciting. You know, I don't know how old you are, but every day old cells are dying and they're being born. New ones are being born at your age. But if the new ones are being born 20 years younger, wow. You'll know it, too. You'll know it. I have one gal that she got a little upset last week because we brought her periods back. She was past menopause. Now she's got her periods back.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be happy about that one either.
But I told her, I said, listen, you know, Jane, you're 10 years younger now. You know, we won't push it too far because I don't want to get you pregnant.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? Oh, my goodness. But this is so fascinating. You know, I just think we are so blessed to have you in the world.
You know, to me, I took an oath. My oath was to do the best I can for my patient, not do the best I can for the system. So I went in, being a physician, that's my goal. So just because the system says you can only do this, wait a second, I found a way that I'm helping my people. That's what I'm supposed to do. Okay, and when I was practicing traditional medicine, I was pretty suicidal because my patients never got better. And then I found a physician that got one of my patients better, and I tracked him down, I met a psychic through him, and the psychic started to open up a whole new universe of, and look at me, where to study and what it was all about, and everything started to change. Everything started to change. And then I studied, you know, America's greatest psychic was Eddie Casey. And I started to study his work. And every time if you had a problem in your chest, he would work on the chest area, but he would also work on the structure. And every case he worked on the structure also. And that was the first time that the structure really became important to me. And the founder of osteopathy stated, disease cannot exist where there are no obstructions. I think it's one of the great lines in American history. In that obstruction, you get a stagnant pond. In the stagnant pond, garbage happens. That's the thing. I try to keep that body flowing. I love yogas and stuff like that, and you know, to keep the body loose and moving. By the way, I just want to mention here, you know, I don't have. To change it for a second. I don't have a medical license because I don't practice medicine. I practice nutritional work using this. I work under another doctor's license, but I use no medicines. If they need medicine, I send them back to the doctor. Okay, but I have no medical license because every time I get a medical license, they get mad at me.
So would you say you're happier without a medical license then?
Oh, totally. Oh, totally. I feel totally free. I'm a nutritional consultant. Licensing, Roosevelt put that in the 30s and 40s just to check the economy, and he expected it only to be there for 2 to 4 years. Now licensing controls everything. They're like the fourth arm of government. And so, no, I'm an MD, but I don't practice standard medicine, so ergo, I don't have a license. If I did have a license, the medical people would be coming after me because I'm not practicing their way. And you'd be surprised what we can find out in your life, okay? And the patients walk out feeling better. They come in limping. They walk out not limping. And this is a major thing. If the patient comes into me and they're not feeling better afterwards, I've missed something. I'll grab that patient back in again and say, what have I missed? Because you should go to a doctor, and when you leave the doctor, you should be improved. It's not happening in the U.S. because they give you a pharmaceutical pill that is foreign to the body and actually stabilizes a certain symptom but weakens the rest of the body.
Wow. Well, we are all out of time, but I am so grateful that you came on the show, and I want all of the listeners to stand up and pay attention. We all need to get together and push this new way of doing medicine for everyone, because we have to make this the future. That we're going to set our intention that there's a whole bunch of wonderful new clinics, homeopathic, alternative medicine, and which has cures.
That's right.
For diseases.
That's right. We need to change it. We need to get it out of the industry's hands and give people a freedom of choice. They don't have a freedom of choice now.
That's right. Thank you, Dr. Biggleson. I can't tell you enough. This has been a wonderful show.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed the whole show talking with you, too. And I love telling the stories to the people. The more the information gets out there, the better it is.
We're going to have you come back when you have some new developments on stem cells. I really want to push that.
Okay, because I will go into that's a very exciting concept for me. It's so much for the future that we can do with that. It's unbelievable. Autism, things like that, we fixed them.
Wonderful. Thank you again. Well, dear listeners, wasn't that something? Holographic blood, messages in the blood, stem cells. Oh, my goodness. The future is now. Aren't we lucky? Next week, we're going to have my dear, dear friend Lee Harris with us, and he's got a brand new book. So come back and listen. I can promise you another terrific show on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com and have a great week.